everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy. I am one of your very excited hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your very excited hosts, Carmen, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast.
It is, and we have fancy new equipment, and apparently mine is fancier than Carmen's, because mine is working.
No, okay. Mine is working great. It's just the...
Yours is working medium. Well, you know what? Honestly, it's probably not the camera.
No. It's nothing, actually. It's probably just me, because how shitty I am.
Well, it might be the computer.
Just the shittiness.
They might just not be agreeing, but it's fine. We're happy to be here. We both just... Typically, we watch the episode, and then like we record several hours later or the next day, and luckily it worked out that we both just watched the episode. We're both very hype on it, because this is a good episode.
This is a good episode.
I have been spiraling on Kate Middleton theories, because that is all my like suggested videos are right now on every platform I am on.
I still don't know what's happening.
Where is she?
She talked recently, right?
A statement was released allegedly from her via the internet. She has not been seen since Christmas Day. It's
someone's dead.
I at this point, there's no conspiracy theory I don't believe. Like, I'm just in awe for all of them.
The king killed her.
Charles can fuck off, honestly. Elizabeth never would have let this happen. Charles sucks ass. Andrew sucks ass. And Charles brought Andrew back, even though he's like full on was besties with Epstein.
Oh, boy.
And it's just gross. And I don't know what's going on. Weird things are going on with Harry. Weird things are going on with William. The same day they said that Kate was going into the hospital for abdominal surgery was the same day they announced that Charles had cancer with no details. And then Harry did like a really quick fly in, go to the hospital to visit his dad, fly out. Camilla has gone to the hospital to visit him. Harry has not been to the hospital to visit him. Allegedly only William and Charles visited her in the hospital. No kids have also been seen since Christmas, which that's where I'm really getting concerned. Where are those children?
Did they harvest all of the organs and all of the blood?
There are theories that Kate gave an organ to Charles and that it went awry. Because apparently when you marry into the royals, they harvest your organs, which honestly is like they've done some pretty horrendous things. So that one is just on track.
This is giving me that movie Damsel. Have you watched it yet? Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it with Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch it, but I did watch a preview.
Yeah. That's what this is giving me right now. Mm-hmm. It's the family is literally bizarre. Just marrying you in to harvest your organs and you become a sacrifice to the blood dragon.
Get Out.
Yes. Yes. Man, I remember watching that movie. Mm-hmm. That shit scared me.
I mean, it's not like we don't know the royal family's racist. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys. Fucking look around.
Yeah.
Where is Kate? Okay.
Also, what do you think's been going on with Harry? Why was it weird that Harry like flew in and then left?
It was weird that Harry flew in all the way from California, visited the hospital allegedly to see Charles, and then immediately left. But fucking William, who lives down the goddamn road, can't walk his ass over to the hospital to see his quote unquote dying father. They didn't say he's dying. They just said he has cancer and it's treatable. But it's just like there's a lot of things. They posted the picture on Mother's Day, which the UK Mother's Day is different than our Mother's Day. So this was March 10th, whatever this past Sunday was.
What a shitty day. Our Mother's Day is better.
I only say that
Our listeners in the UK, I don't actually think, you know, calm down. I'm just kidding.
I only know that because it was also the day of the Oscars and Michael and I watched the Oscars together. And one of the people that won, I think it may have been Cillian Murphy. I'm not positive. No, it was someone else. Anyways, someone won. They were from the UK. They had their acceptance speech. And at the end of it, they said Happy Mother's Day. And like Michael turned to me with just like the biggest look of panic. And I was like, don't worry. It's not our Mother's Day.
That is really funny.
Anyway, so they have a different Mother's Day. So that was this past Sunday. And so they released a photo of her with the three kids. Okay. Mm. Very clearly photoshopped. Clothing is photoshopped. Parts of the wall and floor aren't aligned. She has no wedding ring. Huge red flag for the royal family, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's people that think this is a pull from when she did a Vogue cover, because if you overlay the pictures, it's like a one for one. And that Vogue cover is 8 years old. So, yes, you look the same in some pictures, but also it's been 8 years. You probably don't look identical. So that's one of the,
I definitely like, don't look like 8 years
then,
ago.
And so then they put out, they issue a kill photo memo and they're like, pull this photo. It's like, it's been tampered with. Then on Instagram, like on Instagram stories or Twitter or whatever, it's just a statement that says, oh, as many amateur photographers, I also sometimes dabble in photo editing. Sorry for any like confusion this caused. See. Signed for Catherine. Which also, sidebar, this has bothered me from day one. Her name is Catherine with a C, but she's Kate with a K. And I just think that's weird. If you're going to be Kate with a C. I don't understand. Maybe it's a British thing. I don't know. Anyways, okay. So the never has the royal family responded to something not on like Kensington Palace or royal family letterhead. So you think, first of all, you're going to tell me that Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Wales, is just sitting over here on her little iPhone on fucking Facetune, fucking around with her kids' clothing on a picture she's going to post for Mother's Day. And then you're going to tell me that she gets caught and she just tweets out. She's like, oops, my bee. And the palace is fine with that. Or that she even runs her own fucking social media. That's what you want me to believe. She runs her own social media. The Princess of Wales runs her own social media. I have a lot of feelings about this. I can tell.
I feel like we need to probably do an actual episode. We should do another Patreon day where you just tell me about all of this shit and I just react to it. And then we can be like old times, like back in the Dude Thoughts days, where I live search things like BDSM and don't know what I'm getting myself into. And find fish hooks in booties and go from there.
Okay, well, we will do that. And hopefully there will be like a positive update.
Hopefully she's alive.
I just want her to be alive and well. And I want the kids to be alive and well because they also haven't been seen since Christmas.
Yeah, that's concerning. I also haven't seen my wife and daughter since Christmas, so I'm not quite sure. Oh, yeah, that's fair. So anyways, this is an episode that we're going to talk about. But first, we've got some shout outs. I've got quite a few here.
Okay.
But why don't we start with our, do you want to pull up our newest Patreon subscribers? Because part of those shout outs are going to overlap here.
Yes, we have Drew.
Shout out!
Drew. And Shauna.
Shout out!
Thank you for joining us.
Not to be confused with
Patreon and Discord.
Chandra. So my first shout out to Drew is we were talking and he has been watching this podcast for the first time. So that's why in the Discord, it's because of Drew that we needed a little bit more of a spoily free zone. So wanted to make sure shouted him out. Absolutely thrilled to have you. His girlfriend lives in Chattanooga. So
apparently we're neighbors.
Small world. So if you see Kelsey like, walking down the street,
look at that. We can finally say it.
Yeah. And then, so Drew, shout out. Absolutely incredible. I told him that I would shout out, her, but, so he gave me her name. He did give me permission, but shout out to Aaron as well, who is a nurse, and really just glad to have both of you kind of be along for this journey. So hopefully, Aaron, you start listening to this podcast as well. But Drew, keep rocking, my friend. I had a chance to message LaKendra directly. I didn't realize that we hadn't talked previously to her joining the Patreon. So she's just super awesome. She was sharing a picture of her kid with her dog and just the best, just the absolute cutest thing. Definitely brings a smile to my face. Want to also shout out, let's see. Katie taught me a new saying. Have you ever heard the phrase, jumping the shark.
Yeah, that's like a super used and common phrase that has been around since before we were born. It originated with the show Happy Days.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
She taught me that. I've never heard of it ever.
That's insane.
Never, that ever in my entire life. Yeah,
this is
going to
be another one of those things where we get a billion messages of people being like, I've also never heard that term. And I'm like, I don't understand.
Why anyone who's never heard
this information for no reason.
Yeah, of jumping the show. So when a show jumps the shark, this is the description because I asked. First off, I love the phrase. Anything involving animals is great. But she said, jump the shark means the moment when a show departs from its original premise and loses its appeal, even if the moment makes sense in universe. Usually it is a type of moment where either character-wise or plot-wise, something crazy happens that is so out of character that shows that the writers are really running out of ideas and desperate to keep people watching.
And they're typically just doing it to like air a commercial to be like, look at this crazy thing that's going to happen tonight. You better watch.
Yeah. So she asked me if I felt like the show had gotten to that point yet. I don't think it has. I think everything kind of makes sense to me. But she also gave a couple of examples of when, for example, and she did say it originated with Fonzie apparently jumping over a shark on skis in Happy Days.
Yeah,
is what it was from.
Like a ski, like he was on water skis, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe a motorcycle was involved. Anyways, there was physically, he was doing some kind of stunt where he jumped over a pool with a shark in it.
Yes.
And that is where the term comes from.
He had talked about, for instance, in Friends, some people say that when Rachel and Joey start dating or when Rachel gets pregnant, both were jumping the shark for that show. I don't feel like the show has gotten to that point, but we can maybe do a deeper dive later on. And then also want to shout out Shauna because we were texting or messaging a little bit here on Instagram, and she has a season pass, an annual pass for Disney World. And obviously we love Disney. So Shauna, shout out. There was one other. Oh, Kathleen, hopefully you made it back home to Michigan safe and sound, or for school. I mean, Janisha, let me know if your mug that you won came in the mail. I need to know. She's in the middle of moving. And then also last shout out, Brittany from small town outside of Ontario, Canada. Big fan. It's funny. She said anything she hates Izzy's character.
Yes, girl.
We were talking about how funny it is how I started loving Izzy and now I'm like, get the fuck out of here, Izzy. So... And then, last shout out for Omira. Also, that she's loving and she feels like she's listening to Best Friends, and she loves that we are.
Okay, I was just gonna say Omira because I just saw her. I just saw her on our Instagram, like her request on our Instagram page, and she told me some of her favorite phrases that we say.
Okay, which are.
Well, first of all, she opened it with "Living in Shonda Lamp,"
incredible,
with a bunch of music note emojis, and then she says, "Love the following phrases." He's a piece of garbage. I wonder who I'm talking about.
That's a Derek. That's for Derek.
I'm healed.
Yep.
Meh. And like Thanos, which we have honestly, I feel like you brought that back quite recently, but it did take. There was a hiatus. For like Thanos, but cannot wait for you to just be bringing that shit back up.
Yeah, I feel like right now. I had to spend a lot of time going through that shit yesterday. It's one of the reasons that I got off work super late, as I was sitting in my office and I could not focus.
Uh huh.
I think I just broke a piece of this microphone.
Oh, good.
Or this camera, I mean.
Oh, well, don't do that. What if you need to return it?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Okay.
Anyways, podcast. So
let's get into the episode now that we've talked about many other things. Do you have anything else to tangent before we get into it?
I don't think so, but okay. Guys, buckle up. Buckle up, because I know exactly how we're going to start this podcast, and it's going to be fucking wild.
Wait, speaking of that. Well, not speaking of that. Did you see the guy who sings Hungry Eyes? He died.
I don't know what song you're talking about. Okay. Hungry Eyes?
Yeah. This is a thing. Hold on. This is going to bother me. Because he has another song that I cannot remember.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Eric Carmen.
Oh, he do All By Myself. Yes.
Thank you. That was the other famous one he did. He died. Anyways, okay.
The world is losing too many Carmens, people. It's one too many.
And yet this man sits in front of me.
Okay. Thanks All for right. wishing. Thanks for wishing death upon me live on air.
You're welcome. At least I didn't say I was going to murder you this time.
Yeah, it's true. This time.
Okay. This is the 16th episode of the 6th season, and it is episode 118 overall, and it is written by... Nope. It is called Perfect Little Accident, and that is a song.
Yes, it is. Perfect Little Accident is a song by Saturday Morning Soundtrack off of the album Saturday Morning Soundtrack. And it is a rap hip hop album. It is not was not my cup of tea, but I had to do some research on this. So first off, this song released in 2006 off of Lost Less Records. And I couldn't find any charting information about this album or about the song. But I wanted to pull up this little bit of biography information for you guys just to kind of give you an idea of the band. So it's a cooperative experiment, intermingled lyrics and fridge-worthy themes.
Oh my.
Yeah, from Isid and Impulse, Capacity, Christoph Crane. And it's a collaboration project. So, those are all artists. I guess the albums that they were from are Fill in the Breaks, Hecatomb, and Absorber and Face Candy. So all things that I've never heard of before. But anyways, it was not, my cup of tea personally. But it is the first and only full length album that was recorded by Saturday Morning Soundtrack was a self-titled album. So other notable songs that have the little star next to them in iTunes are Adopted Birth Defect and then Play Dead Till They Kill You.
Oh my.
Featuring Idea.
I will say I didn't listen to this song, but when I saw the song title and then I saw the band title, it did give like early 2000s potentially emo vibes. I was like, maybe
that's what I was thinking,
pop punky types.
I was thinking it was gonna, and then I look at the album artwork too and I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm about to listen to some fucking good shit, and then it said yeah. Hip-hop rap and I'm like, okay, maybe not different, but let's see what we got here. And it wasn't as bad as that one song, but yeah, it just wasn't good. Didn't make the cut. 1 out of 5 stars.
Okay, that's all right. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. I'm glad to give it a stream, though. You know, I always want to help support the starving artists out there. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're probably doing fine.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I yawned and now my eye is watering. Okay. This episode was written by Peter Nowak and directed by Bill D'Elia. D'Elia? Maybe. Every time he directs, we have this conversation. So maybe one day I'll look it up. This episode aired March 4th, 2010 to 11.83 million views.
Wow.
And the Netflix synopsis is, when famous surgeon Dr. Harper Avery is rushed in, the staff is surprised to discover that one of their own is related to this legend.
Couldn't be more of a spoiler. That's the spoiler. That's
is explicitly a spoiler.
So let's talk about, I want to hang out here for a minute. Okay. I want to hang out here on this.
Let me say before we get into this, there have been times where we have been talking about Jackson Avery and I have been like, I need to stop talking about this because if we say his last name too many times, I was afraid you would put it together.
I don't know how I fucking didn't.
I needed this reveal to be as impactful as I also remember it being, because this wasn't, I mean, I don't think people saw this coming. To my recollection when we were watching it live. So every time we would talk about it, I was like, okay, we're hovering enough, but we have to stop saying his name. So I would like try and just use his first name and be like, okay, it's good. We got to get away from this. Cause I was like, if we say it too much, And then I think there was one where we were talking about it. And then you also said something about the award. And I was like, I have to distract this man.
It was, I think, was it last episode when Weber was talking about
it? Last episode, but it was probably, it was within the last five.
Wasn't it last episode that Weber was doing the speech? And he said, 2-time Harper Avery Award winner, Ellis Gray. Yeah.
I did think about that.
And I said that, and I think I said, he said 2-time Harper Avery Award winner, Ellis Gray. And that's when Christina and Meredith were like, oh, this shit is going down.
Yeah.
And I've said Jackson Avery a billion million times, and I never put it together. And let me just tell you motherfuckers out there that when he introduced himself as Harper Avery, I shat a brick. I was all caps texting everything that I texted you. If you have seen the Instagram story, that was how I was feeling. My texts were exclamation point. I was an exclamation point in incarnate. Yeah. I have not been this surprised by a reveal like that and happy since Tom Riddle was Voldemort. I just love it. It was great.
It was
and I'm
good
glad
stuff.
That it wasn't spoiled.
And it's kind of one of those things where it feels intentional from the get-go.
Yeah.
From the merger, it feels like, why else would you have him named Jackson Avery? It's not like they like the Harper Avery Award had been mentioned umpteen times before the merger ever came about. It's not like they introduced him and then introduced this award and then it was his grandfather. So it does feel long game.
Yeah.
So props to whoever was doing that. Well done. I love it.
Shonda was doing it.
And I love the connection it kind of gives him and Meredith.
Yeah, it was. I have a little bit of a frustration with this episode because it seemed like they were doing a bit of a Star Wars, right? Where everything in the Star Wars universe is related back to the Skywalkers. And it was just kind of a moment where Ellis and Meredith have this world famous connection because of Ellis Gray. And then now they're introducing another person with this extreme nepotism into the mix with Jackson Avery and Harper Avery. I'm not mad about it, but it is one of those things where I'm like, okay, you're bringing in another connected person to this. That's cool, but it felt a little bit Star Wars-y. Do you get what I'm saying?
I don't know that I agree, because I just feel like nepotism is rampant.
Well, I think the original nepotism was the Skywalker.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
It was probably royal families was the original nepotism.
Yeah.
It was monarchies.
That too.
So, I had to guess.
Speaking of, in case you haven't heard, Kate Middleton has not been seen since Christmas.
Where's Kate?
Where is C?
What have you done with that woman?
Oh, goodness. Anyways, okay. I was very happy with that reveal, and it happened very quickly, and there were plumbers at my house rotting out our drain pipe while this was all happening, and I'm like, I need you all to not knock on my door right now. Please. I'm busy.
Yeah.
That was great. I was very happy with that.
It was great. Great times. So do you want to talk more about the rest of that storyline?
Do you want to start with that? Is that where you want to, like, this? We could probably talk about... Yeah, let's do it. The guy's nuts.
He's an asshole.
When you have an award
rich,
named after
white
you,
old
I guess.
Man, and yeah. I'm not surprised by his attitude or the way he speaks to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So you would have to imagine either he married a black woman or his kids did.
Right.
And I love when they threw that plot, because you don't look, I knew that they were related the second they walked in. I was like, okay, Jackson's clearly not in scrub uniform, nothing like that, but he's bringing this person in. And I was like, okay, I'm excited for this storyline. Didn't know where it was going to go. Didn't expect it to be Harper fucking Avery. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
let's
he
talk
calls
about
him
Christina.
Jackie.
Misdiagnosing him. Well, yeah. Let me just say this. This is not something I say often. Good episode for Derek.
Great episode for fucking Derek.
Derek did not make me mad in this episode, I don't think.
You know who really made me mad in this episode? Mark. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not a great episode for Mark. Excellent episode for Derek. Medium episode for Christina. Funny episode for Christina.
Yeah.
Medium other things. A little bit of head clashing with some different people.
Yeah.
Weird episode for Owen. Weird episode for Alex.
Yeah.
Good episode for Callie. I love Callie.
Great episode for Callie. Great episode for Teddy and Arizona. Mm-hmm. And good episode for decent episode for Lexi. Mm.
Pretty good episode for most of the residents.
Yeah. Charles is alive.
Charles was there. No Reed, no April in this one.
No Reed, no April.
Mercy West Forever.
I can't get a Reed on That was never a thing.
Wasn't a thing. I love it.
Okay. So what was the exact... So they walk in. First mm-hmm. off, let's take this from the top. Lexi is just fucking hot. Mm-hmm. So hot. Mm-hmm. I need to just say that right off the bat. All right. Let's talk about Harper Avery. What was the thing that she misdiagnosed? What did she do?
She just like goes... She does what she does and says like the worst possible thing because that would make it the most interesting thing for her, you know? So she says ascending cholangitis. And he says with only one of the symptoms of Charcot's triad. And she says, you're a doctor? And he says, a much better one than you are. Dr. Harper Avery. Harper Avery? No, that's my name.
It's too funny. It's just too good.
It is.
And Jackson tries to, like, gang, back off.
Yeah. He's like, I think he paged Bailey because I think he knew that she could be discreet. And he didn't. He clearly didn't want this to get out, as is discussed in the entire episode. He wants this. He says later on, I hate when they find out I'm related to him. And I do feel like that with nepotism, I'm sure it is difficult when you also feel like you work really hard and you do deserve things. Yes, you had the like leg up of being related to someone, but you all are also still good at it. That was probably frustrating because you're in a mindset where you're like, people are always going to think that I'm only here because of this other person that I'm related to, which Meredith right. makes the point. She's like, it's not Jackson's fault. He's related to Harper Avery, to which Christina says, whatever, Ellis Gray's daughter.
Yeah. And then even in that same scene, that's when Derek's like, okay, Ellis Gray's daughter.
Yeah. All right. Ellis Gray's daughter. Yeah. I mean, it's because Jackson has gotten to this point without anyone knowing that that's his grandfather,
which is great.
So
very impressive.
There clearly is like, he isn't unskilled. Obviously yeah. he's done some good surgery to get here. The main issue with him and his grandfather are like, his grandfather has flown in to basically say, why are you studying at this hospital when I've saved you a spot at the hospital I am teaching at and you should come study under me. Now that is where I feel like I'm like, well, what's even the point? Like, you're not gonna have to be good if you're gonna do that, because he's gonna favor you. Clearly this man is not gonna hide it.
Yeah. And no one's going to tell him otherwise. His friends that he may make or the people he's competing with may give him shit.
Or like shit talk behind the back, but they're not going to ever verbalize it to either one of them.
Yeah. Until he dies.
They're just going to bitch about it to each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, you know, nepotism can be shitty and it
can
typically
be.
Is. but yeah, I definitely see Meredith's point where she's like, it's not as though Jackson is running around this hospital with a neon sign saying, I am Harper Avery's grandson. Let me do whatever I want.
Right.
So you do give him a little credit for trying to, and then you kind of think back a couple episodes ago where he's talking about his family to Lexi and he's like, mm-hmm. Oh, everyone in my family is really smart. And no one expected me to be smart. They just were like, oh, you're pretty, so you're not going to be good at anything.
But it sounds like his grandpa, it sounds like the grandpa doesn't actually think that. It sounds like the grandpa has some kind of respect.
My thought is, okay, we don't know sibling wise, cousin wise, who else, what other quote unquote like legacies this man has in his family line.
Right.
So if, you know, if he's giving this speech that he says, that Jackson says he gives all the time at the dinner table, potentially that could be aimed at other people. And they're just always like, well, Jackson's pretty. So like, he's dumb. He isn't gonna be a doctor, but we'll give this speech for all our ugly kids.
Right. Because they can be doctors because of how ugly they are.
Right. I don't know if you've seen this show, but all of the doctors are really ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I think that's my biggest beef with this show is there's nothing to look at. There's no eye candy.
Ugly people. There's never been an attractive man on the show.
Yeah, and all the hot ones are clearly the worst of the doctors.
Right. Now.
Yeah. Like Lexi is just an idiot. Can't remember anything.
She's never remembered anything a day in her life.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's take a quick break. And call this an episode and just wrap it up and be done.
Bye, guys.
Quick message from our...
No spoilies.
If you see Kelsey in Chattanooga walking down the street. All right, quick episode from our sponsors. And we are back. Okay, so...
Episode from our sponsors is what you...
Quick
did.
Episode. Is that what I said? Did I just say quick episode?
It was a quick episode. An episode of a commercial.
Quick episode of a word from the sponsorship that we
regionally
acclaimed. So the thing that I like about this is it actually, he kind of, again, he sheds some light to, he requests Ellis first off. He's like,
right,
I don't need a neurosurgeon for ab pain. Get me Dr. Gray. And Meredith's like, hi, hello. Mm-hmm. And then he's
it's
like,
me. I'm Dr. Gray. Oh my God. Amazing. He loves me.
This plastic surgery department here must be great.
Or alternative option, you're not Ellis Gray.
Yeah.
And here's my beef with this. Ellis Gray, wildly successful, world renowned, like groundbreaking surgeon for so many reasons, won 2 Harper Averys, so successful, published. And people keep being surprised that she died. How is there not an article about it when she died? Like, it feels as though there are certain people in a field that is, even if it's not, you know, on the cover of like a New York Times, it's still going to be on the cover of like these medical magazines that they're waving around every episode, or at least in the medical magazines, in my opinion. That was a little like plot hole type thing that I kind of had with that quote unquote discovery for Harper Avery, is that he was like, oh, I didn't know. And I said, but why didn't you know? Because it feels as though someone probably mentioned it somewhere.
Yeah. I also think that when I was watching this for the first time, I was like, he was so distraught, seemingly. Did he fuck Ellis Gray? Did they bone? Did they have a relationship? Is he the real father of Meredith? These are all things that went through my head when he seemed so surprised that she died.
That's what we call Shonda PTSD.
Yes.
Which I was watching something also lately where I was convinced that everyone was just going to burst into flames. And I was like, this is not a Shonda show. It's probably going to be fine.
Okay. Hold on. Did you watch Where the Crawdads Sing?
No.
Have you heard of it?
I am familiar with it. I sometimes things happen where there's a book first and I'm like, I have to read the book before I watch this movie. And then I just never do either.
Okay. Then I'm not going to spoil it for you. But okay. I walked in yesterday to Jessica watching it and I watched the end and I'm like, I don't know if this is Shauna talking, but this happened. And she's like, no way. And then it happened. So yeah, it was wild.
Yeah. Shonda really puts our mind in a certain place. It's kind of like when you talk to somebody who is a big true crime person and they just think that the explanation for everything is murder.
Yeah.
Which sometimes it is, let's be honest.
Honestly.
But sometimes it's not. So
yeah.
Where's Kate, guys? Where is she? When I say I can't stop thinking about it, I really can't. Okay. So,
so Weber's there. And Weber are there. Or no, he wants Weber.
He wants Weber. They call Weber. Weber's like, Bailey can do the surgery. They say he has, what's the first thing that he actually,
well, they don't at first. They don't at first call him. This scene was crazy to me because he's like, oh yeah, he's, he's busy.
He's busy.
And then the motorcycle guy explodes and the deaf lady goes, what are they doing to him? And then Derek's like, we should go ahead and page Weber. That's, we should do that.
The motorcycle patient just starts spewing blood and Derek's like, you know what? I'm not actually going to argue about this anymore. There's too much chaos.
I can't fight this.
I'm just going to give in. And so they go over the scans and say that Bailey can do the surgery. And Harper Avery is like, who'd you fuck? Why are you not chief anymore? It's because you fucked the board member's wife. Did you fuck a student?
It must have been juicy to lose the chief gig.
Motherfucking Gray. The beginning of the end. So yeah, very nosy, very in front of everybody. Don't love it.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Is the T. He says that he doesn't want Bailey to do it. He's like, you need to do it because you're good at things. No offense, Bailey. And I was like, don't you dare talk to her.
The look on her face when she's like, yeah, none taken, you dickhead. I'm like,
yeah, like I give a shit about anything you think. So then he says, okay, you're going to do it and I'm going to be awake for this fucking surgery.
To which Derek says,
no,
and
which the appropriate call.
To which Weber says, I'm in.
Yeah.
I could do this.
Thanks, pal. Well, he gives the speech.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, let's remember why we're in this. Let's be great. Let's show those kids how to fucking surgery.
Yeah. Isn't it great to learn again when you die?
Yeah, it's just annoying to be awake for my own surgery.
Nothing makes me feel more alive than looking at my own guts and shit.
Teach ourselves.
You know, it's an interesting moment that Jackson and Meredith have, though, in this scene.
Yes, I love this.
Tell us about it, Kelsey.
When they're outside and Jackson's like, oh, he's giving the speech. He's the wonders of medicine and how we have to push boundaries. He gave it all the time at the dinner table. And Meredith's like, you got to have a dinner table? I feel gypped.
That is so, so funny. And I think it's also a very important point to make because we've spent the last 6 seasons being told by Weber that you can't have it all. Mm-hmm. And the Harper,
if you're a white man and an asshole,
yeah, and you have an award named after you,
yeah,
it's really all you need. So I just thought that was very interesting. It was the opposite of what we've been being trained and coaxed towards for the last
right. Well, I mean, and granted, with Ellis, her and Thatcher split when Meredith is young, so she is also on top of having a very demanding job, a single mom. And so it's hard to say, like, I think it's hard to compare that to a like quote unquote nuclear family, which is not a term that I love, but that is the picture that Jackson is painting as his upbringing.
Yeah.
Was that it was a more like quote unquote full family, I guess. I don't really know how else to phrase it.
Not a broken home.
Yeah. So
for whatever that means.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, I heard this speech so many times. Couldn't help but become a surgeon because of it. And Meredith's like, oh, it sounds inspiring. And Jackson says, it's fucking cheesy and it's annoying. And everyone fucking gives into it all the time.
You know what, though? Some of the most cheesy things in the world can be the most inspiring. So I'm okay with that. I like it.
So then he gives the speech. Derek says no. Richard says we can do it. And Harper Avery's like, that's the way a chief does things. Take note, dick. Fucking asshole. This guy is the embodiment of entitlement. Like, he's so annoying. This person clearly doesn't think they can do anything wrong. This man has never seen a consequence in his life.
No.
And it's so obvious. So they go out of the room. Derek, this is one of the first moments that I was like, good on you, Derek. Derek says, as the sole person in this hospital assigned to look out for your welfare, I do not support this decision. Richard says, I apologize. And Derek says, do you really want to do this? And Richard says, I do. And he's like, then it's on you. Like, I'm not going to stop you. I don't support it, but I'm not going to stop you, which I think is like the move, because he knows he's going to get pushback from Harper Avery at this point. And he does see that Richard wants to do it. Richard does apologize. So I don't, there's not like a, I don't know. It does seem like there's a bit of level-headedness to it where it's not like anyone's being rash. So he's like, yeah, you can do it, but it's on you. Like, this is your thing.
Yeah. It's interesting too. It was a quick turnaround. It was almost a jarring turnaround, because you walk out of the scene, Derek says no, Weber says yes. Derek's pissed. I'm not going to let this stand. And Weber goes, I apologize, Chief mm-hmm. Shepherd. And he says it like you know that he doesn't want to say it, but he knows sincere. That it's the right thing to do. He knows mm-hmm. it's the right thing to do to apologize. Even if he didn't say, I'm sorry, he didn't say, I want to apologize. He said, I apologize. Which I think is
a synonym.
Yes, I get it.
It's not the same as saying I came here to apologize and then not apologizing. That's not the same. It's not the same. Anyways,
so I think, but then also, it's a quick turnaround, because Derek's right. like, you really want to do this, dude? Okay. All right, fine.
Derek is kind of separating the, like, Weber did come back. He took this job. He's back. He's following the processes that he needs to be allowed to be back. And Derek doesn't want to hinder him feeling like he deserves to be there. But Derek is also, like, you know, trying to look out for his well-being. So he's,
yeah,
it's like a balancing act. So for me, it's easy to follow why he says no initially and then gives in, because he's like, just so you know, I don't support this. And that right. might not even, like, even if he wasn't the chief, he might would have said that.
Yeah.
He's like, you can do it, but I don't support it. That can honestly be like a friend conversation.
Yeah.
He just happens yeah. to also be the person of authority in this yeah. scenario. So
they do it. They actually do it. Mm-hmm. And he's awake the whole damn time.
He surely is. And he's, guess what? Still annoying.
Yeah. Telling him how to do sutures. Mm-hmm. They say to use silk sutures, or not to use the silk sutures as opposed to one of the other kinds.
Well, you know, Carmen, it's interesting that you bring this up, because I don't know if you know this, but this is a teaching hospital. Damn it.
Damn it. It is. You're right.
I would love to expand your medical knowledge. I would love that. That is what we're focusing on today.
Thank you. Professor Kelsey
from the NIH Journal of Medicine. There is no only one ideal suture material for surgical practice. The factors related to the patient, type of surgery, and the quality of the tissue are important to decide on the appropriate suture material. Chromatic sutures, which is what Harper Avery demands, much to his own downfall, are a variant that are treated with chromatic acid salts. This treatment produces roughly twice the suture holding time of a plain suture, but greater tissue inflammation occurs. Full tensile strength is extended to 18 to 21 days. Fast cot cut suture is heat treated to give it even more rapid absorption in the body. Now, some other types of sutures. Silk, which is what Richard initially was going for, is a non-absorbable, natural braided material that is preferred by some surgeons because it is easy to handle. It has good tension and stability for the duration of the suture. On the other hand, the braided nature of the silk suture allows surface debris and bacterial accumulation, resulting in inflammation of the surrounding wound. So typically what you're going for is this natural material, but maybe some more potential debris and bacterial accumulation and inflammation, or this treated suture, which is stronger and less easy to handle, but also creates inflammation. So like, to me, I would also be choosing the silk.
I don't really have a preference.
I don't feel like Carmen absorbed anything I just said.
No, I absorbed all of it. The chromatic one is treated in some sort of like salt bath, and they last twice as long, but it creates inflammation around the area. And the silk ones have a little bit less inflammation, but they're braided, which means that there's bacteria buildup that can happen.
But also inflammation of the surrounding wound. So it's,
I'm just saying, I heard every fucking thing you said, Professor.
And then I just wanted to throw this in because we also hear proline a lot. Polypropylene, also called proline suture, is a synthetic non-absorbable monofilament that has a high tensile strength. So it's also strong, but it's also non-absorbent.
Mm.
So
we love it.
Also, when I was reading this, it was from a real medical journal. So I saw lots of pictures of rats being sutured.
Nice.
Did not love.
Oh.
No, it was not nice. Did not love it. It's yucky.
Yucky
I am not
rats.
Built for the medical field.
So it turns out, they, while doing one of them, Richard goes to pick the silk ones, and Avery goes,
"How fucking dare you,
hey,
lazy piece of shit,
bitch boy?
Yep.
Stop being a lazy piece of dirt and fucking do some real surgery work while I'm open alive on this table, you asshole."
Yep, yep, yep.
I just direct quoted that entire scene
for sure, for sure. So. Yeah, there's a bleed. They find the bleed. Then Richard's like, silk. And he says, no, no. Use this terrible one over here, please. So they use it. Everything is fine for a singular moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then he pages Jackson and Meredith 911. And they sprint to him and he's fine. And then him and Jackson are getting into it. And he's again asking Meredith, like, if your mother had held a spot for you, would you not go there? And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I want to get involved in this.
Starting to get a little tricky here, Jackson. I'm having a hard time defending you now, buddy.
Yeah. And so then Jackson starts to be like, it's enough. And he's like, I'll decide if it's enough. And then he just like goes in on him, and you think I'm arrogant and overbearing. You've made that clear. I'm your only living grandfather. I'm about to die, essentially. And he starts to go in, but then he goes into VTAC, no pulse, crash cart, you know, the drama. There's a complication, inflammation. Interesting. So Weber tells Derek, like, well, first of all, Harper Avery's like, I want to be awake again. And Derek, great Derek moment, is like, fuck you. You don't tell me how to run shit in my own fucking hospital, which I love.
Do you have the exact quote?
You're in my hospital today. You will abide by my rules. That means you go under general. Your grandson will be sitting in the waiting room as family. If you refuse, I will personally declare you unfit to make decisions regarding your own care. That is how a chief does things. Take note.
Fucking mic drop. Fucking drop. That was so good.
It
I love
amazing.
That.
And he just walks out, which is awesome. Richard follows and is like, hey, have Bailey do the surgery. And Derek's like, dude, like, you can do it. And Richard says, we could be here because of me. I can't make a mistake on this man. Like, I want to drink. Please let Bailey do it. And Derek says, Bailey will assist. Like, and then basically points out to him, you're making progress, because 2 months ago, you never would have told me you wanted to drink. You would have just gone and drank and then also tried to do the surgery. So you can do it. Like, you're making progress. You are back. You deserve to be here. You can do it. Bailey will assist. Like, he full support. Right. Which I really appreciate that he's showing Richard. And I think Richard needs,
I think it was
just for this surgery, but just to be back at work at all.
Yeah, it definitely was the right choice. And Derek had a good moment there. I think it was a gamble, because if they would have gone in there and it turns out he did make a mistake, I think that could have set Weber back. But when they go in and he's like, and what Bailey's like, this is great news. And Meredith's like,
why?
Okay. can you elaborate, please? And yeah, they're like, yeah, he was just allergic to the sutures, but he's always wearing gloves, so he never would have known.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a pretty cool moment. And then you see Weber kind of gets a little bit of his mojo back, and he's like,
yeah,
get me my sutures.
I'm smiling behind this mask, and give me that fucking silk, Bokey.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I like
we
it.
We love a victory.
Yeah, I was happy for him. Also, did you feel any vibes when they were cutting to the waiting room and Jackson was there and then that dude's sister was there? And I was like, are they going to bone? Like, yeah. What is happening?
That was another Shonda PTSD. I was like, I know these people aren't going to have sex, but like, they're going to have sex.
Yeah. It feels like a weird.
So good.
The tension was just misplaced. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Yeah, they're happy. It's basically his fault, which also Jackson celebrates. He's like, this is amazing. I'm thrilled. You could not have given me better news.
He was wrong. And yeah. I'll hold this over him for the rest of his 6 days of life.
So he's happy that it was his fault. He's fine. And then she says, I understand, like, not wanting to be everyone to know that this is your family. But my mom's dead, and if I could, I would make things right with her, and you can do that now. And then she's like, and I would learn from her, which is very different, I feel like. And I don't know, to basically be like, you should move to Massachusetts because my mom's dead. It's like weird advice to give someone.
I don't think that she was saying that. I think it was more along the lines of you don't have to leave, but you do need to. Yes, you need to make it right, like you said, but also just take that time and learn. And maybe when the time comes, maybe you do transfer, but it's not right now. Whatever. That's okay. But if this is the way that they're sending off Jackson to get off the show, I mean, like, okay, he's made peace with his grandpa. That's pretty cool. And now he gets to learn from apparently the most well-known doctor in the entire galaxy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think she's saying you should move to Massachusetts. And like, this man is clearly an asshole.
A masshole.
It feels like weird advice to me. Like, definitely on board for the front half of like, you have the opportunity to make things right. Like, if he dies, you could have regret on like how you left things with him. But I don't like the other half where she's like, you can still learn from him, so you should. That's just me. I just think it's weird.
But you could learn from him without having to go back to that hospital.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
You've never learned other than being in person.
I definitely would want to go learn from her, and you still can. Because of the previous conversation.
Is this your way of telling me that Jackson's leaving the show now?
I'm saying this is bad advice, and I'm saying because of the previous conversation about him saying he saved him a spot at Mass Gen and he's mad that he came to Seattle instead. I just think that she's saying you should go to Mass Gen. And I just think, first of all, they're not that good of friends. Yes, they have this connection, and I love getting to see more of, like, you know, learning about him. And obviously this is like a great reveal and everything. I just think it's like bad advice. That's just how I feel. I just think it's bad advice. Anyways, we're not going to harp or Avery on it.
Nah,
nice. That one was for you.
Thank you.
So yeah, then he goes up and he's like, hey, if you're up for it, I'd love to introduce you to some friends. Christina comes in, Alex, Lexi, Percy. He introduces them. Christina,
a very interesting
selfie.
Telling
it's
of his
very
friends.
Very funny. It's weird that he calls them his friends.
Yeah.
For that group, that collection of people.
Yeah.
But I think it's progress. You know, he's definitely hearing part of Meredith's advice for sure. And I just think it's so funny that Christina comes in, gets flustered again, and then takes a selfie. So funny.
The selfie is for sure very funny of the times because they don't have the front facing cameras yet.
So she turns the phone around.
That was truly very funny. Also, did you see the anniversary of Ellen's award show selfie 10 years. And
back when we thought Ellen wasn't shitty.
And Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Spacey hadn't come out as like a boy butt raper at that point.
Simpler time.
Is that too graphic for the show? Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, I think it may have been a little too crass to reference something that's actually happening to other human beings.
I wanted to make another joke. I'm going to stop. I apologize. I reel it in.
Thank you.
That
so
was
much.
Sexual trauma is not a joking matter.
That was very mature of you to say, Carmen. I'm proud of you.
I mean it.
I know you do. I'm actually proud of you. I know it's hard because I always sound the same, but
you do sound, you sounded very sarcastic, and I'm like, yeah, a little condescending there, Kels.
I've been told that often. People, I'll say something that I'm actually excited about. People are like, I can't tell if you're excited or sarcastic. And I'm like, I am so sorry because I am actually very excited.
Yeah.
Anyways. So yeah, it kind of seems like things are good times with Jackson and his grandfather, at least in the familial relationship part.
Yeah. I like this, and I want to share a little personal anecdote.
Mm-hmm, go for it.
I never got to meet my paternal grandfather, and I had a maternal grandfather who I was never very close with, but always had wanted to. So it's interesting thinking about the dynamic with Jackson, where he has a grandfather that he's actively not wanting to be with, and he even says, I'm your only living grandpa, so you should love me, which is funny. But yeah. It is interesting. He has a grandpa who, and for whatever Harper's motives are, even if they are an ulterior motive, I think ultimately he wants to do what's right. And again, I think one of the things with nepotism, I think I've said this before, it is bad when you don't have it, but the people who are trying to pass it on, they've worked very hard to accomplish what they have. And
yeah,
you know,
some of the time.
Yeah. What, it's not forgiving Harper's assholishness, but the fact that he is trying to do right by his family, you can't deny that. You can't disrespect that. Jessica and I want to create a wealth of money so that we could pass it on to Marlo. That's not her fault if we do achieve that. He wants to make a better life for his grandkid. I want to make a better life for my kid.
Michael and I were talking about this yesterday, how sometimes the previous generation is like, I'm going to work really hard so that like I might set my kids up for success. And then their kids get older and they're like, hey, I had to work hard. Why aren't you working hard? And it's like, because you told me not to by like giving me all this stuff to make me not have to do that. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Where's the disconnect? I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. But yeah, I don't fault Harper for wanting to set Jackson up for success. I fault him for being a dick.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would agree. Yeah. I would agree on that. He clearly, like, Harper Avery is clearly a talented person. However, that does not forgive being an asshole. So,
yeah,
that's just things to remember. That's just cross the board in life. Just because you're good at something doesn't mean you can treat people like shit.
Yeah. And we get
that's
this interesting
good advice.
That is good advice. And we get this end scene that's kind of cool because Harper goes to Weber. He's like, so tell me about this research. And he goes like, well, I actually haven't been doing it for
years.
And he's like, well, you should do that again because you've gotten close with that research. Mm-hmm. You've gotten close to my award. You were on the shortlist twice.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn cool. And I'm sure that's a confidence boost for Weber when the whole point of this episode, and we'll talk probably about it a little bit more later, is he doesn't want to feel like a piece of garbage.
Right. Well, I was actually going to mention that now because it's very related to the Harper Avery story. So the end when Weber goes into Derek's office and he says, I had to pee in a cup today and it was humiliating. And I know that I overstepped by agreeing to the surgery, but I wanted to feel something other than feeling humiliated. And I think that's very like responsible to own up. And also he's just like, you know, he already has apologized for this prior, but he, I think, feels like he wants to do a further explanation to Derek of why he did it in the first place. Excuse me. And so Derek just says, I understand, tomorrow's another day. And I think another great moment for Derek. he's just, he hears him out and he's like, let's go again tomorrow. Like, because at the end of the day, Weber was successful. Like Weber did a great job on this day that was supposed to be a low stress home by 5 day.
Yeah.
Didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, that's how you seal your fate in these shows, Weber. Yeah. It's say you want to be home by 5, and you will not be home by 5.
Or say you want to live, then you're gonna die. So you know how it goes.
Yeah, and definitely don't promise anyone they're gonna live, because they will not.
Never.
I like that scene because it's interesting. Hunt and Mark and Derek, they're all sitting there playing basketball, and they're all kind of like talking about their day, and we'll get to the Mark thing later. But when Derek's like, I told off my hero today, I can do anything, and completely misses the shot.
Yep.
And all three of them miss. And then Weber comes in, is like, I just want to not be garbage. And then he swishes it.
Fucking nothing but net.
Nothing but
and
net.
And then just leaves.
I like it. He's starting to work his way back into, he's doing a good job. It's been a good string of episodes for Weber.
I agree. It's nice that he's back. It's nice to see him flourish. Again, a talented surgeon lost to the bureaucracy of chiefdom.
And alcoholism.
Well, and that. But even so, like, he wasn't getting to operate much because of the merger and because of administrative duties anyways. And even before the alcoholism, he was saying, like, oh, I never get to operate anymore. But I think that might be it for this.
Yeah. What do you think we should do if we were to start another episode randomly for part 2 or something like that? What should we do?
Probably we would start with everyone's favorite segment.